Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. The role of the church is changing in Canadian society, and tonight's guests know how 40 churches across the country have responded to those changes. Award-winning journalists Patricia Patty and Karen Stiller wrote Shifting Stats, Shaking the Church, 40 Canadian Churches Respond, which was recently published by World Vision Canada. We're going to talk to Karen and Patricia in a few moments about the challenges of co-writing a book with stories from across the country. But before we get to our interview, let's listen to Strong from the City Harmonics Heart CD.
So let there be light in the dark. I need a silver line in the storm. And suddenly I can see when it rains, it pours, but every single drop is dripping with your love, your love. When I am weak, you're strong. Your wish is all I've got. What love is in this, that love's no matter what. Ever be grace. Suddenly, let me see your crown of thorns. And though there might be pain, you rolled the stone away, my God.
And now to our interview with Patricia Patty and Karen Stiller. Good evening, Patricia.
Hi, Robert. How are you?
Good evening, Karen.
Hi, Robert.
Now, let's before we get into the details about Shifting Stats, can we give our listeners a little bit of background about the both of you? You both chose to practice your love of writing as journalists. What led to that choice? We'll start with you, Patricia. What led you into that field of journalism?
Gosh, you know, Robert, that's kind of a big question. It's a lifelong question for me, but I'll try to give you the short answer. I loved writing my entire life, and when I was in high school, I had a number of teachers that identified that they thought I had an ability in that area and suggested that I go into journalism. And at one point, I applied to the Carleton Journalism Program, but wound up pursuing radio and television arts, which was my other passion, and started out with a career in broadcasting, but broadcast journalism. And one thing led to another, circumstances in my life that God used to kind of literally back me into a corner with my family when they were younger. And somebody came along and offered me an opportunity to do some marketing work for his little company, and our family desperately needed the money. And as part of that marketing work, I realized that they needed a newsletter for their clients. So I developed this newsletter and realized I love doing this. I love writing. I love telling stories. It just felt like what I was made for. And once I started pursuing writing actively, God just flung open the doors of opportunity, and the rest is kind of history.
Well, and looking at that, Karen, how did the road to journalism begin for you as well?
Well, similar to Patricia, I've always loved writing, and I was a
avid reader, of course, as a kid. But in some ways, it was like circumstances just opened doors. I remember we were living in Meadow Lake, Saskatchewan, and I remember a moment where I was holding my firstborn, who's now 19, and I said to my husband, my perfect working life would be if editors called me and assigned me stories, and then I did them and sent them in. I had sort of no idea if anybody actually worked that way. And then I started writing a column for a small Meadow Lake newspaper that was willing to take a chance on me, and then I just expanded it slowly over the years until we moved to Toronto, and then I did a communication certificate at Tyndale with a guy named Robert White sitting beside me in the class. And that solidified for me that, yes, I can do this and I can make a living at this. And it just sort of went from there. It was very slow and sort of methodical, and I could see God helping me, and it was hard work and it was wonderful. So, and I always wanted to build my writing or whatever kind of career I had around my kids, and the journalism allowed me to work from home and, you know, become very efficient writing on nap times and stuff. So, yeah, it's been good.
Well, looking at that too, I mean, you've also, not only do they do the two of you do the journalism, but both of you work together in doing marketing, communications, public relations as well. How does what you do as a journalist translate into doing something in that whole PR marketing type of field?
Well, that's a great question. Let me say, first of all, you picked up on something there about Patricia and I working together, and that is one of the ways that we make it work for ourselves and our families. We've done a couple of big projects together that neither of us felt we wanted to do alone, and she and Patricia and I have just become sort of strategic writing partners, and that's part of the business of making a go of it successfully. So that's been so wonderful over the years. A lot of journalists make a shift into PR work. It's kind of, I think some people find that that's a nice second half of their career. For us, we've brought that in and just sort of mixed it into the blend because it's still about telling good stories. And what we do together is help run a news release distribution business called Canadian Christian News Service, which we created for sort of small, medium-sized nonprofits. That's who we find are using it more frequently, to make sure that their great stories get out in the most effective way. So we see it as kind of going hand in hand, I think.
Mm-hmm. Patricia, you were saying that, you know, when you first started, you started out in sort of the marketing end as well, besides broadcast journalism, but you got into sort of the marketing thing in that. How do you sort of, what is it about telling stories that attracts you to continue to do that type of writing?
You know, Robert, I think for me personally, it's all about because I'm a passionate learner. I love to learn, and there's almost no boundary to what I find interesting and fascinating once I start digging into it. Mm-hmm. And whether you're telling a story that's a story about a church or a story about a life, an individual, or a story about a product or a service, there's always something interesting that there is to learn about it and to understand and to wrap my head around. And then the next part of that process that just feels like joy to me and fun, and I know it's the same for Karen, is then taking what we've learned and what we've grasped and understood and communicating that to an audience. Basically what we're doing is sharing the learning.
Mm-hmm.
It's. Would you say the same for you, Karen?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I want to get into that whole sharing and how you do that with shifting stats, shaking the church, 40 Canadian churches respond, and do that in a little bit more detail. But we need to take a quick break, and then we're going to continue our conversation with Karen Stiller and Patricia Patty, who wrote that book. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
Blessed are the poor.
that righteousness that you seek is beautiful. Beautiful like a city on a hill.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to City on a Hill from the City Harmonics CD Heart. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with authors Patricia Patty and Karen Stiller. I guess the obvious question is, and Karen, you alluded to it, that you and Patricia have worked on a couple of different projects before, but where did the idea for this particular project, Shifting Stats, come from?
We have both independently worked with World Vision Canada on a few projects. Correct me if I'm wrong, Patricia, I think this is our first collaborative project with World Vision, but World Vision Canada approached us, actually, with this idea. They had just done this great tour of churches across Canada, or workshops for churches, where they were talking about shifting stats and the changing demographic landscape of Canada and how churches can interact with that. And they were hearing really great stories, and they wanted to bring them together in a book. And so they had the vision and invited us into it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Patricia, walk me through some of the logistics of doing this book. I mean, you had 40 churches. How did you choose which churches to write about? How did you choose which churches actually were going to be included in the book? Because I'm assuming, just based on my knowledge of what I do as a journalist, you often have way more than you ever write. How did that all work together?
Yep, and that was certainly the case here, Robert, because World Vision started off by passing along to Karen and I reams of information that they had gathered from these conferences that they had conducted across the country, leads from church leaders that knew of the work of other great churches in their communities. And also Don Moore, who wrote the foreword and postscript in the book, he serves as National Church Relations Ambassador for World Vision Canada. Don has pretty good connections with church leaders across the country, denominational leaders and such. And they also had responded to Don's question for what churches are really doing interesting or innovative things in communities across Canada. So we started out with literally hundreds of churches to look at, and then we knew that World Vision had given us sort of instructions that they would like to see a broad geographic range presented, as well as a broad denominational range, and churches of all sizes represented in this book. So that really became our template. Karen and I created a big spreadsheet
that we worked on in created a Dropbox folder so we both had access to it, created a giant spreadsheet, and just started working our way through the stories. And it really became, you know, which do we feel are the best stories that deserve to be told, stories that will inspire other Christians across Canada as they read them.
Well, Karen, how did you decide which stories each of you were going to do? Did it become, you know, Patricia did 20, you did 20, or how did those logistics work out?
Yeah, we did exactly that. We divided in half, so we each did 20, but really it was pretty organic. Like, different stories resonated with us in different ways, so there was never a story where it was like, oh, you do that one, or oh, you know, please don't make me do that one. We were excited by all of them, and we just, you know, sort of said, I'll take that one if you don't mind, or I'd love to do this one, or so it was all... Yeah, it was just a fun way to do it.
Mm-hmm. And when it came to putting the book together, sort of how did you decide on the order that the stories were going in?
That was really a decision that was made at the World Vision level. They have an entire team of people internally in the Church Relations Department, and Karen and I were really blessed, Robert, very, very fortunate in writing this book. It was a glorious way to do a book. It really was, because we were supported by this team of people at the World Vision offices, and they were the ones that ultimately made the final decision. We had discussed doing laying out the book in sort of a, you know, from going from traveling from East Coast to West Coast, or doing it by theme or by size of church or by denomination. And ultimately, I think they just decided that the best approach was to keep them scattered, and that way it would keep readers engaged as they went.
Mm-hmm. Looking at it, and as you were going through the process of doing this, what was, Karen, start with you, what was the most surprising story you came across?
Cornerstone Baptist in PEI, and for a couple of reasons. Even though I'm from the Maritimes, I'm from Nova Scotia, I was not aware that Prince Edward Island was such a huge immigration hub for Canada. And I loved learning that, because if you've been to PEI, it's such a lovely place, and it's such a homey place. And so the thought of immigrants arriving in Canada and settling in Charlottetown and PEI, just, I found it heartwarming and surprising and lovely. So Cornerstone Baptist Church in PEI just got really involved. And one of the things they did was they went down and met with a government immigration office to say, we, you know, the outreach pastor did this, and like, I have, you know, a few hundred people standing behind me who want to volunteer and want to help immigrants settle and adjust to Canadian life. Use us. And the office did, and they got really involved, and then it grew from there to other more direct, you know, church-based service to the immigrant community. So that was, you know, a surprising and wonderful story for me.
Same question, Patricia. What was the most surprising story you came across?
I think for me, Robert, it was Southridge Community Church down in St. Catharines, Vineland area of Ontario. And the reason that story surprised me was because my husband's family is originally from that area, from the Niagara Peninsula. And so we've been married almost 30 years. And so for almost 30 years, we've been making regular treks along the QEW down to the Niagara region. And I've been familiar with the changing seasons, and I've seen the farms that line the north and south sides of the QEW, and the blossoms in the springtime on the cherry trees, and the workers in the vineyards in the fall harvesting the grapes and things like that. So I've seen all of that. But what I didn't realize was that the vast majority of people who work in those fields and who prune those fruit trees and who tend those vines are temporary foreign workers. That there are 30,000 temporary foreign workers who come to this country every year, and they work on our farms and in our fields and produce so much of the produce that winds up feeding our bellies and stocking our grocery stores. These are people who come from throughout the Caribbean, Jamaica, Trinidad and Tobago, etc., and they come for months at a time, and often repeatedly for years on end. So this church, Southridge Community Church, what they wanted to do was focus all of their outreach efforts on one vulnerable, needy community, and they targeted the temporary foreign workers in their area. And they have this beautiful outreach and have had it going now for a number of years. But out of a church of 300 people, almost 200 men, women, and children are involved in this outreach program to the temporary foreign workers. Mm-hmm. And they do everything from hold church services on Sunday mornings in cultural familiar circumstances and settings for these men. They refurbish bicycles so that the men have transportation when they're living in Canada. They provide barbecues and soccer games and just social outings. They drive them to doctor's appointments. They have really become their family away from family when the men are here. And I just thought that was a beautiful story. And it was something mm-hmm. that was so hidden to me for all these years. I had no idea about the men that worked the farms and just the level of need and sacrifice that these men endure and that their families endure back home while they're here, helping to create a better life for Canadians.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm looking at time and I need to take one final break. And before we wrap up our conversation with Shifting Stats, Shaking the Church, 40 Canadian Churches Respond, authors Patricia Patty and Karen Siller. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
I'm broken down, I'm on my knees, I'm crying out in my disease. I'm so worn down, so won't you speak and tell me how you care for me. 'Cause you are God, you heal all things, your name is love, so love heal me. I'm broken down, won't always be. Yes, I've seen pain and I've seen grief, but how it fades when I sing these songs of love that help me see that you are God, you heal all things, your name is love, so love heal me, and I'll hold on. All things, your name is love, so love heal me. Falling down, I'm on my knees, I'm singing out, you're what I need. I'm singing out, you're what I need. I'm seeing now, here with me.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Love Heal Me from the Heart CD by the City Harmonic. I'm your host, Robert White. We're going to wrap up our conversation with authors Karen Stiller and Patricia Patty. Just quickly, as we get to start to wrap things up, was there, Patricia, we'll start with you, was there one story that you had to leave out that you really would have liked to keep in?
There were a lot of stories, Robert. Yeah, there were a lot of...
Pick one.
Oh, gosh. I really couldn't pinpoint one, but I just have to say that the encouraging thing for both Karen and I working on this project was recognizing that, yes, churches are hurting across Canada, and yes, the landscape has shifted. The culture has changed, and that's where the shifting stats part comes into the book. But churches are responding, and they are responding well, and they are responding beautifully, and they are meeting the needs of their communities in innovative and creative and caring ways.
Mm-hmm.
So far more, the church highlights 40 churches, but there are
hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of churches that are doing great work across this country.
Karen, I'm going to give you the same question. Was there any one story that you really would have liked to have seen in there, but you just weren't able to squeeze it in?
Yeah, I'm going to give you the same answer. There were a lot of stories that could have been in the book. I can't think of one in particular. We had so many, like, sort of multiple filters that we were putting the stories through, you know, denominationally, geographically, but also topic-wise. We wanted to be sure that we weren't repeating, you know, stories or themes as little as possible. So, yeah, there are a lot of churches that could be in a book like this. But mm-hmm. I think the thing I would like to point out also is that, and I'm married to a minister, and we've been in really big churches, and we've been in really small churches. And I was so encouraged, and I know Patricia was too, by the amount of work and creative love being expressed by churches that are not big in our country. Like, we had some congregations that were, I think, 30 people strong, and they're doing really neat things. So I loved that because, you know, it's kind of like the underdog churches really making an impact. And mm-hmm. so it's just an encouragement. It was an encouragement for us, and we really hope, and I think we're hearing that it's an encouragement to readers, too.
Yeah, just one final word. Where can people find out more about Shifting Stats?
Well, they can go on Amazon.ca and type in the search box, Shifting Stats. That's STATS, as in statistics, and the book will come up. They can get it in hard copy, soft cover book, or they can get it in for Kindle or Kobo, or they can go to the World Vision Church Relations website and order it directly from World Vision.
Great. Karen, Patricia, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Robert.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection tonight, and thank you to my guests Patricia Patty and Karen Stiller. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at www.selahministries.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, a production of Selah Ministries, email robert@selahministries.ca. Follow us on Twitter @Selah13. Look for the Arts Connection page on Facebook or connect with the Arts Connection blog at rdalelesley.wordpress.com. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.